Okay, Parshas Ekev, the Rabbeinu B'chai begins the Parsha with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Dala, Pasuk Chaf. It says, B'ni, it's a few Pasukim, B'ni l'dvarai hakshiv ala marai hatas necha, my son, pay attention to what I'm telling you, al yalizu me'enecha, shamri misoch l'bavcha, don't forget what I'm going to tell you, ki chayim heim l'motzeim, because it is life to those who find it, l'chol basar or marpein, it heals their whole body. So Rabbeinu B'chai explains that this is telling you, obviously, about the Torah and mitzvos, that you should pay attention to it. Hat aznecha means not just to listen, space in. Pay attention, space in to what I'm telling you, and to never forget it. And to also, not only just to never forget it in your heart, also to speak it out in your lips, like Chazal make the drasha, kechayim heim lamotzeim lamotzeim bapeh. It's life to those who speak it out, so you should remember it, you should talk about it. That is the Torah and the mitzvos. And it'll be l'chol b'sar, in other words, never forget a mitzvah, never forget any of the mitzvahs, because it is life to you. L'chol b'sar marpei, it heals the whole body. That means to say that if, let's say, in the regular physical world, if somebody is sick and they take a medicine, medicines usually have side effects. So a medicine can make you healthy, you know, cure a sickness in one way, but it'll has a side effect that it damages a different organ. So that's regular medicine. That's the way it is in the world. But in Torah mitzvahs, no, mitzvahs is the whole basar marpei, to the whole body. It's good. Torah is good for everything. There's no side effects. It's all good. Period. Okay. And then he says that because the mitzvahs give us life in this world and the next world, so we have two different types of mitzvahs. We have the mekubalos, which are what we would call chukim, mitzvahs that are, we don't understand them. They're good for our neshama, he says. And muskalos, the ones that we do understand, that's good for the guf. Good things that we understand, don't steal, right? That's good for ourselves in this world. And then he says that the reward for all mitzvahs, the main reward, is of course at the end, in Olam Haba. And that is called Ekev. Schar comes at the Ekev. As the pasuk says, Gam avdachon is har behem. I was careful in your mitzvahs, but shamram Ekev rav, he says that the mitzvahs always have that word ekev attached to them because the ikar schar that we get from mitzvahs is at the end, at the ekev, at the heel. He says you find that by the chukim, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, natisi libi lasos chukecha laolam ekev, and we also have it by regular mitzvahs, so mitzvahs we do understand, the lashon ekev, and that's this week's parsha, which starts, vaya ekev tishmones hamishpatim. If you will listen to the mishpatim, those are the mitzvahs that we understand. Again, the schar, the ikar schar, comes at the end. Now, the most of what this parsha talks about, Ekev, is when it's giving you the schar of what will be good if you listen to the mitzvahs. These are all about things that will be good for you now, in this world. That's usually what the Torah talks about. The Torah never talks about it'll be good for you in Olam Haba. And there are many reasons for that, given Rabbeinu B'chai gives his own, but not in this week's parsha, so we won't talk about it right now. But the point, the Torah always gives schar in this world. It always tells you it'll be good for your produce, it'll be good for your family, it'll be good for your sheep and your money. So so he says that's what the Torah explicitly says, because the Torah only discusses explicitly this world. However, it hints that there's the main schar in the next world. How does it do that? Because it says, V'haya ekev tishmon. V'haya is the osios yudke vavke, and that is the main schar, is like we all know from Mesilas Yesharim, is to be nana miziv hashchina, to get hana from Hashem shchina. So there's a hint to the shchina in the words v'haya yudke vavke, that the schar of mitzvos, it talks about what's in this world, but there's a Rambam says v'haya, because that's the main schar, is the shchina. Okay, so then in Pasuk Chaf, we have that Hashem will send the tzira, which were physical things, to help destroy their enemies. And those saras v'pneihem ki Hashem alkecha b'kirbecha keil gadol v'nora. Hashem is a gadol v'nora. So that those words are actually a lot in this week's parsha, relatively speaking, to other parshas. You find, by the way, just as an agav statement, a lot of times you'll find in the Torah within one parsha the same word or phrase back to back to back. I don't know the reason for all that, but you see it a lot. Just as a dumb example, Parshas Vayetze in Bereishis. This is nothing to Rabbeinu B'chai, I'm just telling you something interesting to keep in mind. Parshas Vayetze, the concept of a stone, is all over Vayetze. It's Yaakov removing the stone and Lavan making a stone at the end. And there's a million, the Yaakov putting the 12 stones under his head. Why that is, I don't know. But within Parshas Vayetze, the idea of setting up a stone somewhere is a gajillion times. I don't know why that is, but you find that throughout Chumash, that when there's one like concept somewhere, it's all over that Parsha. I don't know why. Anyway, the Hashem being Gold of Anora is a lot in this week's Parsha, relative to anywhere, any other Parsha. Anyway, so it says here in Pasuk Chaf Aleph that Hashem is Gadol V'Nora. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains what those two words mean, Gadol and Nora. He says Gadol is Nisim Nistarim, hidden miracles, like we were talking about. In other words, natural miracles, like those Tzira, you know, the physical things. Hashem protects us by helping us in the physical world without any open miracles, just hidden miracles. And also, Nora is the super miracles, like a Kriyas Yamsuf and that kind of thing. That's Gadol V'Nora. Now, it seemed to me a little bit of a stira later on in the parasha when we talk about Gadol V'Nora again. It's not so clear. The psukim he uses to describe Nisim Nistarim and Nisim Gluyim at the end of the parasha have the words Gadol and Nora in them in the wrong way. You could look that up if you want. It's towards the end of the parsha in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Beis. There he says, Nisim Nistarim come from the shame Kel Shakai. The Ramban says this as well. And that is from the Pasuk Liris Hashem HaNichbed V'Hanora. That's Nisim Nistarim. That Pasuk has the word Nora in it. And then before some of the famous super the miracles, those come from the Rishem HaMyuchad Hashem HaGadol. And he quotes there the Pasuk that has the word Gadol in it. Enechem haros is kol ma'isi Hashem ha'gadol asher asa. Sounded to me a little bit like a stira. Not sure about it, although it could be. It's not. Anyway, you could look it up there yourself. May have to do with what the details he's talking about there. Right, anyway, but that's he says explicitly, very clearly, in this pasuk, towards the beginning here, about Gadol v'Nora, Gadol is Nisim Nistarim, Nora is Nisim for Samim. That, of course, makes sense. Nora sounds awesome. Sounds like it would be the amazing miracles. Okay. Now, afterwards it says, Vayar Ivecha, Vayancha Vayar Ivecha, Hashem starved you, meaning you had the manna and nothing else. He says the reason that was is because to fully get Torah in the best pristine way, you can't be physical. So you had to be Yar Ivecha, you had to get the physical food out of you and be just eating man so that you would understand Torah better. Then continues that it was, but in the midbar is raglecha lo batzeka, right? Remember the Hanani Akava though protected your feet and your clothes. The clothes grew with them, right? We all know from Rashi. But what does raglecha lo batzeka mean? So Rashi says raglecha lo batzeka means that your feet did not get I don't know if the word's blisters, but didn't expand or whatever. Didn't get ruined by walking on sand for so long. That's what Rashi says. Unkelus says raglecha batzeka means your shoes didn't get ruined. Okay, there's not Rabbeinu Bechai doesn't add anything to that, but he does just point it out that machlokas between Rashi and the Targum Unkelus. And then it says that we're going to Israel, which has the famous the Shiva Minim, and he says also it's also a remnant to the seven climates. I should say Chazal make a similar drasha that there are seven climates out there in the world. And Israel has the best climate, specifically Yerushalayim, he says. Yerushalayim has the best climate. Doesn't mean, I mean, whatever. He says it's the most mazug, because there are different climates in Yerushalayim depending on the city, on the season, rather. But overall, he says Yerushalayim has the best overall climate in the world. That's the best for a person. And he says, the pasuk that says, this is just from the Radak, really, but the pasuk that says in Tehillim, Yefei Nof Mesos Kol Haaretz, that Nof means climate, like the, you know, the weather. Yefei Nof Mesos Kol Haaretz, that Israel has Yefei Nof, Yerushalayim specifically has the Yefei Nof, has the best climate, Mesos Kol Haaretz. Right, okay. So now in the same theme, it's Eretz Asher Lo B'Miskenus Tochal Ba'alechem, a land that you will not eat food poorly. So Rabbeinu Bechai here says something that the Gra says all over Mishlei, that whenever you find riches and poverty and food and this kind of, as well, especially riches and poverty, it always refers to richness in Torah and poverty in Torah. So here Rabbeinu Bechai says the same thing. B'miskenus, lechem refers to Torah, and you will not eat it in poverty. meaning since Eretz Yisrael, like he quotes in Torah, Keteret Yisrael, that since the climate there is the best, it's the most effective for learning, and in a spiritual sense also. Therefore, since you're in the land of the best air, either physically or spiritually, or probably both, therefore you will not eat bread in poverty. You'll eat it riches, meaning you can get the most understanding of Torah. Then we have the idea of benching. So this is a Doraisa din, obviously, that we have to bench. But the concept of bracha, Rabbeinu Bechai says it is not hoda'a, it's not only hoda'a, I should say, it's not just thanking Hashem. When you bench, or you make any bracha, it's not thanking Hashem. It's more than that. You're expanding the shefa that comes from Hashem. This is an idea found in the famous, I guess, from the Rashba, which is Rabbeinu Bechai's Rebbe. That bracha comes from brecha, means to expand, to grow bigger. So when you, and the Rabbeinu Bechai proves it, that bracha means that, to make you expand the shefa, you cause more goodness to be in the world when you give a bracha, when you make a bracha. Because it says Hashem is misavel tefilasan shel tzadikim. Hashem desires the tefillah of tzadikim. There's also many gemaras, one above Metzia, where it says hektish needs bracha. Like the famous story with Rabbi Yishmael, that he said bni barcheni. Hashem asked Yishmael to bless him. What does that mean? A bracha means to make bigger, to expand. That's why Hashem desires their tefillah of tzadikim, so he could. Because through bracha, the more the shefa comes down, more things go better, the payros get better, everything is better when you make a bracha, because it causes more shefa to come down from Shemaim. That's the way I understand what he's saying. So that's the Indian of bracha, that when you bless Hashem, you're really causing more shefa to come into this world, and more good to come into this world. Okay, now I just found this interesting. He says, we all know the famous line, you shouldn't say, you shouldn't say, my strength caused kochi v'otzem yadi, my strength, and there's some other synonym for strength, caused me all this good. Don't say that. So that's the way we understand it, because we're regular people, and kochi sounds like my strength, but Rabbeinu Bechai is a mekubel, and when he sees the word koch, he sees a different word. He sees mazel, my koach. You should not say, my koach means my mazel. So you shouldn't say that the reason I got rich. Now he's going to explain this in two different ways, whether it's talking about the Klal Yisrael as a whole or an individual. Let's go with the talking about Klal Yisrael as a whole for first, because that's his first shot. So Klal Yisrael should not say, kochi, my koach, my mazel, meaning there's some kind of spiritual thing, v'otzim yadi, and my brilliance made me rich. Otherwise, that's what the pasuk is talking about. If you're going to get rich and you're going to forget Hashem, you're going to say, Kochi v'otzim yadi asili etzchayase. So Kochi, my mazel, Klal Yisrael's mazel, and my physical actions, otzim yadi means my regular actions, that's what made me rich. You shouldn't say that. Ki hu hanosin l'cha koach. You got that? Koach meant mazel. So the response to that is, you think it's your mazel that did this for you. Hu hanosin l'cha koach. Lasos chayel. You control your koach, meaning the famous Ein Mazel Yisrael. Hashem gave us, and there's no mazel in charge of us. Hashem gives us good, but he wants to give us good. So when we're doing well, it's because we do mitzvahs, or because Hashem wants to give us good. Let's be more specific. It's because Hashem wants us to have good, and we should always remember that. And it has nothing to do with any kochos. It's because it's Ein Mazel Yisrael. If we are doing good, have good, it's because Hashem wants us to have good. And the reverse as well. That's if you're talking about a rabbim. If it's talking about a yachid does have a mazel. So then you got to read it again. Don't say kochi, my personal mazel. An individual, like we said, does have a mazel. So don't say my mazel, my good mazel. And otzim yadi, and my personal brilliance is why I'm rich. Rather, even though Chazal do say something quite like that, that b'ni chayim mizoni, which one of those mizoni means your parnasa is tali b'mazel. So, but you should not say that. Rather, he's the one who gives, who makes the mazel exist. Hashem is the one that gives. In other words, it's not like it's independent of Hashem. Hashem gives the mazel because he wants the mazel to have that koach. So he gives the mazel its koach. And you always have to remember Hashem's in charge, bottom line. And as we'll say later, tefillah can change everything. We're going to get to that shortly. Okay, then it says, Moshe says, Va'es Napal, then he said, Moshe fell down to daven for them. So, Va'es Napal refers to Tachanun, like we do Nefilas Apayim. And Chazal learned from here that there's three ways to daven, sitting, standing, and Nefilas Apayim, all said by Moshe. It says, Va'ishiv Bahar, and he davened by Moshe. It says, Vanachi Amadati Bahar, when he was davening, and this pasuk in Ekev Es Napalafnei Hashem. There are three ways to daven: standing, sitting, and Nefilas Apayim. And we all, probably most of us, know that that's at the end of Tachnun, when we stand up of Vanachnu Lo Neda. That's because we're saying that there's we don't know any other way to daven. So after we've stood Vishman Esrei and did Nefilas Apayim and sat, or maybe we stood for Vurachim, I don't know, whatever, we stood at some point during davening, we sat, and we did Nefilas Apayim, we say Vanachna Leneda, we don't know of any other way to daven, because these are the three ways we know how to daven. Okay, then we have something a little bit more broader. Ba'aron hisanaf Hashem od lashmido. It mentions that Hashem got angry at Aaron for helping to build the Egel Azov, which he did all Hashem Shemayim to delay the people. He figured he'd go slow, and then the Egel wouldn't be built, and Moshe would come down in the meantime. So Aaron had the best of intentions, but bottom line is he helped build the Egel, and therefore Hashem got angry at him, and that's part of why Nadav and Avihu died. Like we said, Moshe davened for him, and it helped half, so two of his sons survived. But Rabbeinu Bechai asks, why did Hashem get angry at Aaron? Aaron had the best of intentions. He did it 100% L'Shem Shemayim. He built that Egel. It was all to delay the people. So why did Hashem not approve, or why did Aaron get punished? So Rabbeinu Bechai answers that he got punished because Hashem is very medaktik with tzaddikim, and the bottom line is a huge chilul Hashem came out of this egel, obviously. And even though it wasn't his, you know, he had the best of intentions, still, I assume this means there was something a little bit not right, I guess. It's not explicit here. All it says is Alpha Pisha Kavanoso Haisel Shamayim Kal Makam Haisel Aaron Biyadayim Bechil Hashem. Even though Aaron had the right intentions, it led to a Chil Hashem. The Alpha Pisha Hulo Chatabo. It sounds like there was no chait. I don't know. Rabbi Mechai says even though he didn't sin, he nehichti as Yisrael Shelo Bekavana. He accidentally caused Yisrael to sin. So was that an onus? Was that a shogig? I'm not sure. But since Hashem is so exacting with tzaddikim, so therefore Aaron was punished. Okay, next we have the Aaron that Moshe made. So there were two Aarons. Moshe made an Aaron, and Bezalel made an Aaron. So the Aaron that we all know with the Kruvim and all that, that's Bezalel's. Moshe made another Aaron, and you know, Rashi mentions all this. The Aaron that went with them to war was the one that Moshe made, and the Aaron that stayed in the Mishkan was the one that Bezalel made, with the one exception of Yericho. I think that was the only exception, where they took the actual Aaron to, when they walked around Yericho. But generally, the Aaron stayed in the Mishkan, and Moshe's Aaron was one that went out to war with them. So originally, when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, he had to put the Lucho somewhere, right? So everything was put in the Aaron that Moshe made. So that had the Luchos and the Shivri Luchos. Then Bezalel made his Aron, and then they only put in there the whole Luchos. So the Luchos, the second Luchos, once Bezalel made the official Aron, they put in there only the second Luchos. The Shivri Luchos were kept in Moshe's Aron. And again, that's the thing with Gordon, you know, when they went out to war, they took Moshe's. And then, after all that was over and the Beis HaMikdash is built, then they took even the Shivrei Luchos and put that in the main Aron that was in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And then when they buried the Mishkan, they buried Moshe's Aron with it. So that's the story of it. Okay, now, what happened to that Aron? So the final Aron, the one that Bezalel made that had everything in it, was buried by Yoshiyahu. Now, Rabbeinu Bechai says, well, maybe we should start back up a little bit. The Aron had badim, poles. The poles were supposed to be 10 amos long. And in the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's 10 amos. In the Beis HaMikdash, it's 20 amos. And it says in Malachim, Malachim Aleph Perek Ches, Pasuk Ches, V'yarichu abadim v'yeroh rosh abadim min hakodesh al pnei hadavir v'lo yireu chutza. So that the poles of the Aron stuck out into the parochas. Didn't go all the way through, but it bulged out so that you could see it. It looked like Shnei Dati Isha. That's what Rashi brings. So, the Rishonim wonder how exactly that worked, because you know, if it happened in the old Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, but now it's double the size. How are they still, you know, how are they going into the parochas? It's just double the size. Did the badim double in size? So the Rabag says, these are new badim. The Rabag there in Malachim says, must be a new badim, not the ones Moshe made. Must be they made new badim for the Aron. And that's how it was poking into the parochas. The Radak has a different shot. So Rabbeinu Bachai here says, not referencing all that in that way, says it was an ace, that the badim of the Aron expanded during Shlomo's time. They actually got bigger. And then in the time of Yoshiyahu, they miraculously contracted. Rabbeinu Bachai just said, doesn't say this like he's telling you a chiddush, he says it like it was, everybody knows this. That's what it sounds like it said, you know, like it, the badim that were herichu b'mei Shlomo, the badim that miraculously expanded in the times of Shlomo, so in the times of Yoshiyahu, they miraculously contracted. And that is because, and what did Yoshio see in that? Well, why were they the size they were in the times of Moshe? Because they were carrying it, right? So when you carried it, they had to be the right size, you know, for people in the front to carry, people in the back to carry. And then once it stopped and wasn't being carried anymore, it was in the Beis Hamikdash, the bottom got longer. And they stuck out like Badi, like Dadi Isha, for whatever symbolism that had. And now the fact that they were going small again, Yoshiyahu saw this as a sign, uh-oh, must be time for the Aron to be carried again. So he figured out that the Churban's coming. I mean, all the Nevi'im had been saying that all along anyway, but he realized it was time, this is going to get moved, and therefore he decided to hide them. Okay, we have later on again Hashem referred to as Kael Gadol Gibor and Nora. I'm just repeating this because this is part of our Shemona Esrei. Kael Gadol Gibor and Nora. Rabbeinu Bachai explains Kael means that Hashem created the world, is the Borei. Gadol is with Midas HaChesed. Gibor is Midas HaDin. Nora is Midas HaRachamim. Okay, that's how he explains it. Good to know for Shemona Esrei. Then we have that the Jewish people went out to Mitzrayim with 70 souls, Ayin Nefesh. If you count it, you'll only count 69. Everybody knows from Rashi, there's Yocheved. It was Yocheved, was Nolda Ben Achomos, that's the 70th. So Rabbeinu Bachai brings, I don't remember if Rashi brings the second one, I think it was only Yocheved. Either way, Rabbeinu Bachai brings two other options. One is Serach, same Medrash there brings that Serach might have been that 70th. And the other one is Hashem himself counted as the 70th. And the same and Medrash also says that when there are 600,000, were minus one. Hashem was that one also in the 600,000. And that's the pasuk that says by Yaakov, Anochi eredi mecha mitzrayim avoni v'anochi alcha gamalo. I'll go down with you, I'll come up with you. We learn from that, that you know, if Hashem is that extra person, that's mean Hashem went down with you, Hashem was the 70th, and Hashem went up, Hashem was the 600,000th. Something like that. It was chaser one. Okay, then we have that Hashem has, we're talking about Hashem's Yodo HaChazaka, Zroa, and Natuya. So he says, obviously Hashem doesn't have a Zroa and a Yad, but those are Ramazim to Kochos in Shemayim. Hashem has a Koach in Shemayim known as Yad and as Roa, and it may be even we are the Mashal, Hashem is the real Yad and Zroa, but whatever the case may be. It's referring to it. It's not that Hashem has a hand or an arm, but rather refers to different kochos in Shemaim, and like the Zroah gets it, the Yad gets its koach from the Zroah. Same thing in the this it refers to Midas Adin. He says, and the Zroah is the stronger Midas Adin. The Yad is the lighter Midas Adin. Okay, just to end off with the idea of Tefillah, pretty important concept. Tefillah. So he says what many of us are familiar with from, I believe, the Rambam, that before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came around, davening was everybody would just make up their own thing. That's what davening was. Then the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came around and made up the Shmona Esrei, which is made up of Yud Ches Brachos. So he said the Shemona Esrei is written, Dan Shekinesi Gdola wrote Shemona Esrei so that everybody could understand, it wouldn't be confusing, but it also, for those who understand, is saying pretty high stuff, obviously hinting to all kinds of spiritual stuff. Anyway, just in its basic level, he says it has, it's Keneged the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, it has four parts, like Yud Kei Vav Kei. Three brachas at the beginning, three brachas at the end, then 12 in the middle, six and six. How's that broken up? So the three in the beginning we know is Shavach Ta'asham. The three at the end are supposed to be Hodah. By the way, what are the three at the end? What are the last three brachas at the end? If I asked you, think in your head, or you could say it out loud if you like. What are the last three brachas of Shemona Esrei? Rabbeinu B'chai lists them differently than I would have anyway. The last three are Avoda, Hodah, and Birkas Kohanim. Got that? That's the last one. That changed my view. Maybe I missed something in second grade, but I always thought the last one was called Sim Shalom. The way he sounds, it sounds like it's Birkas Kohanim, which ends off with the word Shalom, and therefore we talk about Shalom, but the bracha is Birkas Kohanim. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, three at the beginning, three at the end, and then you got 12 in the middle of Bakasha, where we're asking for things, but they're broken up into six and six. First six are about our own personal needs, the last six are about Bin Yerushalayim and all that. So that's the four different parts. And then, obviously, they added the one of Lamal Shinim that came later. That's how it's split up. And, of course, he mentions that Tefillah can conquer anything. It can conquer Xeris. It can conquer everything. That's why it's so important to daven well. And, of course, like you said, the Shemona Esrei itself is into high spiritual stuff. I forgot. I'll add one, a few more things. Nasati Gishmichem Be'itam. This I just think is important. It says Hashem will give you your rain when it's the right time. So he mentions this thing that many are famous familiar with. And the time of the Binyan Hordus, it never rained in the daytime. It rained only at night. So that's Hashem can make it rain in a good time, means rain at night. Then it doesn't bother anybody. And I believe it's the Rama. There's a famous question about Hashem created rainbows. What does that mean? You know, in the time of Noah, after the Mabel, Hashem made a rainbow. What does it mean Hashem made a rainbow? Isn't it just the refraction of light? So there's many different answers to that. One of them, I think it's the Ramah, said something similar to this. Hashem could have made it rain only at night. Then there wouldn't have been no rainbows. That would have been convenient for everybody anyway. So that's what it means. It rained in the day and there's... Okay, anyway, so raining the good time, so rain at night doesn't bother anybody. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Have a good Shabbos.